Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Anybody have a word?
Cast your care on the Lord because he cares for you.
Amen. Cast them out there. Throw them right out there.
That's right. All the past them.
Amen. He can handle them. I got this, the Lord says. Amen? Amen. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Yeah. There is power. Power, wonder-working power in the name of Jesus. Romans 5:6 says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. When we were utterly helpless. I think that when we come to realize that we are helpless, we're right at the right place to welcome Jesus into our circumstances, into every part of our lives. Sometimes we can hold on and we can handle it ourselves, even when we know Jesus, even we know that all we have to do is present ourselves. Recognize, hey, I'm helpless. And the truth is, the more that we know the Lord, the more that we know that we're helpless and he's our helper. And as Fred shared, and I think by the guidance of the Spirit, what was isn't. You know? Those things behind, what can separate us from the love of God? One specific thing that can't is what's behind. Let them go. Just let them go. Don't keep going to them. Just let them go. They're gone. When they try to come up, you're gone. I cast my care upon the Lord because he cares for me. So that baby's gone. Can't find it anymore. If you go down to the river and you throw a rock out there, you're never going to find it again. You know? You could spend a lifetime scuba diving. You won't find that one. But on the other hand, if it is necessary, it'll float to the surface and stand beside you on the shore. So if it comes and stands by you on the shore, that might be one thing. But don't mess with it otherwise. Leave it there. Leave it there. And you can't possibly throw another one in that same spot. So when we were utterly helpless, when we were utterly useless, at just the right time, Jesus died for our sins. And getting closer to the Lord, I've never, when I was a kid and we did Lent and we did Advent, I didn't get it. And when I got older, I thought, you know, okay, like Lent. And it looked obvious to me that people spent 40 days and then forgot. You know, 40 days, spending 40 days. 40 days, and in between the 40 days, you can start the morning and not bother with it the rest of the day. I guess the thing is it always seemed to me like it was, if it didn't, 40 days is only a ninth of the year, 9 times 40 is 360, so it's less than a ninth of the year. And the Lord says to seek him every day. You know? We don't forget him for then 325 days, and then, okay, it's time to remember him again. But if we seek him for 40 days, that would be enough days to have it be a habit, if that's what we want in the first place. You know? But there's so much more every day. And so if I think that I'm going to accomplish everything that I need to, or if I can get done with 40 days and say, whew, I'm good. Well, that's not much different than when they sacrificed one lamb for all the sins for Israel. And they sent another lamb, a goat, the scapegoat. They put the sins on that goat and sent it out. Somebody led that goat out, and so then those sins were gone. I wonder what happened if the goat came wandering back into the camp. You know? Hey, sometimes things will come wandering back into our camp. But we've cast our cares on the Lord. We just let those go. Sometimes they come as a memory. Maybe sometimes they come as an action. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, but this is what we have. We have the power of God working mightily in us. He's mighty to save. Jesus, you can move the mountains. You are mighty to save. Forever, the author of salvation. You rose and conquered the grave. Forever. Forever. Hallelujah. Forever. That's just the way it is, you know? And I mean, it's like, hey, we know that. But do we remember it? Do we put it to use? You know? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I know the verse. Am I operating in that? You know? Last week, when we talked about the fact that Paul said, now, as you receive Jesus as Savior, as you received him as Lord, you see, we want salvation. I mean, we want that. We don't think about that until we think about that. You know, but when it comes down to just a simple choice, you know, Roger, do you want to go to hell? I would have said, nah, I don't want to go to hell. Do you need a Savior? Yes. Do you need a Lord? Not so much. You know? I want to be in control. But a Savior, that'd be nice. So if you think a Savior would be nice, then you can hold on to that thing of, you know, somehow, just before it all ends, I'll call out to the Lord and I'll be saved. You know? But Paul says, there's something better, Lord. There's something better. You know? There's something better. No, we can't get to heaven without salvation, but man, we can live with him as Lord. Deliverer, helper, director, you know, he's everything. Everything that you could ever need, just you can write it down. Write it down, he is. He is. If we just believe that he is, well then he is. He's all of those things. And so we can trust him. You know? I mean, somebody will say, well, how do you trust him? Well, how do you trust anybody? And that's kind of the place that sometimes people come in their lives, I don't trust anybody. You know? Arm's length. You know? But we can trust Jesus because he never errs. He just doesn't. You know? God says, I'm God and I don't change. I don't fail. More and more, I think about the fact that he doesn't want anybody to perish. He doesn't want anybody to perish. So he doesn't ever lose sight of us. He's always, always saying, look, I got the past. And even people who don't know Jesus and they're living in the past, God's saying to them, I got it. At just the right time. At just the right time when we were utterly helpless. I think that anybody and everybody at some time has said something's got to change. You know? Something's got to change. Someone's got to change. And we can name a lot of people that got to change. If that just changed, that person just changed, if that just changed, and that just changed. Wouldn't help because we're the ones that need to change. You know? Because if I change, then the way I look at other things are going to change. If I change. When we were utterly helpless and my wife prayed and my wife said, help us, there's a devil in this house. I don't know if she was thinking Roger. I don't know if she said Roger. I don't know. I don't know, but I had been saying something needs to change, and God knew exactly who it was. Roger. It was Roger. You know? If in my mind I thought if Vicky changed it would make it better, it wouldn't make it better because I'd still be Roger. And I think it doesn't really make any difference what is going on. If we're thinking something's got to change, we might as well ask God to change us. Change how I see it. Change how I hear it. Change how I feel it. Do whatever you got to do to change it, Lord. Then maybe you stay away from naming anybody else. It's when we prefer my will, not thy will. When we're still preferring our will, see, because Jesus just gave us a bar that is right there to grab a hold of and do pull-ups on, and that he says, I always do what pleases the Father. You know? How did he do that? Well, he settled it in the garden. As he sweated drops of blood. And he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And in that statement, all right, let's go. Let's go. Well, what changed? I wanted God's way. It always changes us when we're free from our way and just interested in God's way. Because we, you and me, we are God's first choice. Each person is God's first choice. And we can be certain that God wants what's very best for us. And so we can trust him that he's already figured it out. I'm always, because the Lord says, you know, become as little children, you know. I never, I never worried about what we would have to eat. But I pitched fits probably so I could have what I wanted to eat. But I never had to worry about eating. At our house, it was such a thing as my mother really didn't, and it didn't have to be that way, but she didn't dig into her food like Dave, Roger, and Corky. We were speed eaters, you know? So it wasn't like she had to wait a long time, but she would make sure that we didn't need a little more. You know, she never ate a whole steak. Grandma and Grandpa bring in beef. I don't believe she ever ate a whole steak when I was growing up, because she was already preparing to feed us some more. So maybe that's why when I got a little bit older and I was working for the pop man and I had cases of Coca-Cola stacked in my room and I would open a bottle of Coca-Cola and she'd want a drink. That woman could chug Coca-Cola. I would say, "Mom, why don't you just get your own bottle? I just wanted the drink." You know, was it paybacks? Because I took her steaks, I don't know, you know. But it was like that. That's just the way it was, you know. And sometimes we're kind of that way about what somebody else has. We want it, and if we want it, then jealousy or greed or covetousness, you know. We wouldn't think that. Like my mom never thought there was anything wrong with drinking most of my bottle of pop. Of course, she knew I had more pop. Yeah. Why don't you get another one if this isn't enough for you? You know. And sometimes that's how we think about other people. Now, I was never tremendously offended. I was just always amazed. You know, it's like, okay, I can get another one. I don't care. But even if I said, you have that one, Mom, I'm going to get another. No, I'm done. Never occurred to me whether she backwashed or not. I didn't care. But I couldn't drink it that fast. Somehow she could. She just glug glug glug. You know, I saw her sip water. She never sipped my Coca-Cola. We have those funny things in our lives. You know, we have those funny things that maybe were a little funny at the time. They get funnier as time go on, and they almost move into adorable. The Alexa or whatever, you know, the stuff's coming up on the screen all the time. Old pictures, and sometimes I see the old pictures, and of course they don't leave them long enough for you to study them, and I don't know how to stop them, but I would see them, you know. Or if Vicki will see something, you know, she'll say, "Remember that?" Well, I don't get to see the picture because it's all done, but she knows the whole story. You know, I don't. It's fun to listen to our lives out of her memories, because if you listen to our lives out of my memories, it'd be a real short story. I don't remember that. Last night, we won't. Last night she brought up one, and I told her, I said, "Boy, you hold on to things sometimes, you know." We were, you didn't hang on to it. You threw it up on me. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, and it was just about cats, you know, and apparently I didn't let her sister's, her niece's cat stay in the house. I don't remember that I didn't let the cat stay in the house. And then the cat got away. Is that my fault? That's their cat. Take care of your cat. But cats are funny, you know. But it's like, I don't remember that. It's not like I was thinking about a way to forget about it. I remember some things that I just have to forget about. But I don't remember everything. Do you remember everything? You know? I just don't, you know. I don't. I don't remember everything with every child. I remember where I was when every one of them was born, though. At least I remember that. God remembers everything about us. And everything about us, he can make it joyful. Because no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, he knows the plans that he has for us. The plans for good, for future and a hope, you know? It's like if you only knew. It's like if you have a present that you just know. You just know that your child or somebody else has wanted, and you just know, and you just can't wait for them to actually see it, and this time is building up to when they're going to get to. Then you have thoughts about, oh, how they're gonna love it, and oh, what it's gonna do for them, and oh, how they're gonna respond to it, and you just can't wait, and you can't wait, and every now and then you say, oh no, I can't tell you yet, you know, and that drives them crazy, you know. But it's like you just can't wait because you're just imagining when it comes to completion, you know, just imagining that. God knows it. He knows it. And so a prayer that says, oh Lord, you know, is pretty reasonable. You know, if I just knew what you know, Lord. If I just knew what you know. But you know what? If by faith we can just take comfort in the fact that we know that he knows. Amen. And so there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. There's power in the blood. There is power. It's there. Even if I can't see it, you're working. Even if I don't feel it, I can rejoice knowing that you're doing something. You know? And then rather than imagining how much worse it can get, I can imagine what God's doing. Then they're no longer vain imaginations, they're just God imaginations. You know? I don't know what it is, but I'm going to rejoice, Lord. I'm just going to rejoice thinking about rejoicing. What if we work ourselves into that room? You know? So that ultimately, somebody says, what are you so happy about? I'm not sure, but it's good. You know? God's working on something. God's working on something. Amen. What a joyous thing. What wonderful surprises. What a surprise. What a wonderful surprise to see you sitting there, you know? What a wonderful surprise. Daughter comes home to take care of daddy. Daddy's happy. I know he is. You know? Well, God's taking care of us. He's taking care of us. And so we work our way forward to remembering the resurrection, but we can remember the resurrection today, can't we? And we'll be able to remember the resurrection after we celebrate the resurrection. I am God, he says, and I change not. I don't change. Jesus said to the disciples, look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Whoa, that's pretty deep. You know, it's like, this guy, he just keeps blowing our mind. You know? What is it? He speaks to the storms and they quit. If he speaks to the storms, there's nothing that's impossible for him. But then everything he would do, they would go, wow, 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 wow. You know, God wants to fill our lives with wows. He does. He wants to fill our lives with the wows. And in order for our lives to be filled with wows, we need to have the eyes of our understanding opened. So then in the worst of things, we can see a wow. Because God's making a wow. And in the best of things, a wow. And when it seems as though nothing's going on, wow. God, the Bible tells us that I look up. Where's my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. We can look up. I see the stars. I hear the rolling thunder. I look down. I see the enemies defeated. I look around and I'm reminded nothing can separate me from the love of God. The power of God is working in our lives. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. The same power, Paul said, that takes care of me will take care of you. The same power. The same power is pressing down, shaking together, and overflowing into our lives. The same power that when we were utterly helpless, useless to anyone but God, Jesus died. And he doesn't die again and again and again. But when we come to the place where we are opening to his life, we might feel like we hit that useless, helpless, nothing will ever change. But something's got to change. And there's power in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Jesus cried out to his Father and he said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Not a bad idea to copy Jesus. I cast this care on you, God. I don't even remember what it was. When I remember, I'll cast it again. You know? Those moments when I walk into the room and say, "I came here for something." You know? That's how those things that set themselves against us need to become. I don't remember that. Amen? And so, as we have received Jesus as Lord, we must continue to follow him. Just continue to follow him. And let our roots grow down deep into him. He's able to keep us. Just let him go down into him. And be built up. Let him become the foundation of our lives. Because there's a place that we can go anytime. Into his presence, wherever we are, in the middle of a crowd. There he is. There he is. So you see, the main thing that needs to change is how we look at things, how we receive from the Lord, how we realize how very much he loves us. And he has plans for us. And he calls us and he says, "Let's sit down. Let's talk about it. Let's just talk about it. Shall we talk about it? Come and talk about it. I love it. I love to just come into his presence and I really don't have anything to say. Let him talk about it. Amen? Amen? There's a kind of a hush all over the world today. So listen very carefully. Come closer now and you will see what I mean. The only sound that you will hear is when I whisper in your ear, I love you forever and ever. Amen? Thank you, Lord, that you love us forever and ever. And when we even begin to draw near to you, you're already there. We thank you. And we give you praise. And we want you to be glorified and honored in our thoughts and our lives. As we give thanks to the Lord and we call upon your name and make your deeds known among the people. We sing to you, we sing psalms to you, and we glory. We just glory in your holy name. Jesus, the name above all names. Our wonderful Savior, our glorious Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord.